إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أيها المؤمنون، يقول مولانا الكريم كما في الآية السادسة والثلاثين من سورة التوبة: إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها 4 حرم، ذلك الدين القيم، فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم، وقاتلوا المشركين كافة كما يقاتلونكم كافة، واعلموا أن الله مع المتقين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما في الحديث عند البخاري ومسلم من حديث أبي بكرة نفيع بن الحارث بن ثلج الثقفي رضي الله عنه: السنة 12 شهرا، منها 4 حرم، 3 متواليات: ذو القعدة وذو الحجة والمحرم، ورجب مضر الذي بين جمادى وشعبان. نعم أيها المسلمون، هذا هو شهر الله المحرم، لذا فقد حرم القتال في هذه الأشهر 4 إلا لصد العدوان، فلا يجوز إنشاء قتال فيها، بل الواجب المهادنة في هذه الأشهر حتى تنقضي، إلا إن اعتدى العدو فلا بد من مقاومته ومناوأته. ولقد ذهب العلماء في شأن تسمية هذا الشهر شهر الله المحرم بهذا الاسم إلى أقوال، منها أنه سمي بذلك لتحريم القتال فيه. وقد عظم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شأن هذا الشهر أيما تعظيم، حتى إنه قال كما في الحديث عند مسلم من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه: أفضل الصيام بعد رمضان شهر الله المحرم. وفي هذا الشهر يوم عظمه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فصامه، وأمر بصيامه أولا، ثم أرخص فيه وحض عليه، ألا وهو اليوم 10 منه، وهو ما يعرف بعاشوراء، كما في حديث ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال: حين صام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم عاشوراء وأمر بصيامه، قالوا: يا رسول الله، إنه يوم تعظمه اليهود والنصارى. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: فإذا كان العام المقبل إن شاء الله صمنا اليوم 9. قال: فلم يأتي العام المقبل حتى توفي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وعن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما فيما يرويه مسلم في صحيحه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن عاشوراء يوم من أيام الله، فمن شاء صامه ومن شاء تركه. بل كان هو صلى الله عليه وسلم يحرص على صيامه كما جاء عند الشيخين من طريق ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أنه قال: ما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتحرى صيام يوم فضله على غيره إلا هذا اليوم، يوم عاشوراء، وهذا الشهر يعني شهر رمضان. بل لقد كان يصوم حتى قبل النبوة، كما تقول أمنا الصديقة الفاضلة حبيبة رسول الله وزوجته في الجنة غيظ قلوب الكافرين عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها، تقول: كان عاشوراء يوم تصومه قريش في الجاهلية، وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصومه، فلما قدم المدينة صامه وأمر بصيامه، فلما نزل رمضان كان من شاء صامه ومن شاء لا يصومه. رواه البخاري. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال: قدم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المدينة فرأى اليهود تصوم يوم عاشوراء، فقال: ما هذا؟ قالوا: هذا يوم صالح، هذا يوم نجى الله بني إسرائيل من عدوهم فصامه موسى. قال: فأنا أحق بموسى منكم، فصامه وأمر بصيامه. رواه البخاري. وقد بين صلى الله عليه وسلم عظيم فضل صيام هذا اليوم، كما في حديث أبي قتادة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما يرويه أحمد في مسنده ومسلم في صحيحه أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: صيام يوم عاشوراء أحتسب على الله أن يكفر السنة التي قبله، أن يكفر السنة التي قبله. وكثير ممن لا عقل عندهم ولا فقه لهم يقولون: ما لنا ولصيام عاشوراء، وإن كنا من قليل قد صمنا يوم التاسع من ذي الحجة، وهو يوم بمنطوق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يكفر السنة الماضية والسنة الباقية، ولن على صيامنا منه إلا شهرا، فكيف بنا نصوم يوم العاشر من المحرم رجاء أن يكفر السنة التي قبله وقد كفرت؟ فنقول: يا هذا، أربئ على نفسك، فما تعدو أن تكون أجهل من في البيت، فإن رسولنا صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهو الذي قال الله عز وجل له: إنا فتحنا لك فتحا مبينا ليغفر الله لك ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر، وقد أعلم بغفران ما تقدم من ذنبه وما تأخر، وإنا لا نعلم له ذنبا تقدم أو تأخر، ومع ذلك كله يقول مجيبا لعائشة رضي الله عنها لما رأته يقوم الليالي الطوال حتى تورمت قدماه، تقول له شفقة عليه: يا رسول الله، يا رسول الله، خفف على نفسك، فإن ربك قد وعدك بغفران الذنوب. فقال: أفلا أكون عبدا شكورا؟ من لم يكن له ذنب كان يكثر من العبادات من صيام وقيام وصدقة وغير ذلك، ويسمي ذلك شكرا لله عز وجل على توفيقه للطاعات، فكيف بي وبك أيها المسلم وقد تلبسنا بالذنوب؟ حتى لو كان للذنوب رائحة لما جالسنا أحد. كيف بنا ونحن تأتي علينا هذه المواسم ونتذرع بذرائع هي أوهى من خيوط العنكبوت، هي من تلبيسات الشيطان علينا حتى نقل من الطاعات. وقد قال ربنا عز وجل في الحديث القدسي عند البخاري من حديث أبي هريرة: من عادى لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب، وما تقرب إلي عبدي بأحب مما افترضته عليه. ولا يزال، انظر يا أخي المسلم، ولا يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه، فإذا أحببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به، وبصره الذي يبصر به، ويده التي يبطش بها، ورجله التي يمشي بها. ولئن سألني لأعطينه، ولئن استعاذني لأعيذنه. فكيف بك وأنت تطلب هذه المراتب العالية والمقامات السامية وأنت من أبخل الناس على نفسك بالطاعات أيها الغافل؟ نعم يا أحبتي في الله، الصحابة ما فهموا هذا الفهم السقيم، بل كانوا يبادرون إلى كل بر وطاعة فيأتونها، حتى أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعضهم في أن يخفف على نفسه، فإنه قد لا يطيق ذلك، كما حصل مع أبي الدرداء ومع عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص حين كانا يصومان أبدا ويقومان كل ليلة، فقال لهما النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يخففا، وأمر عبد الله بن عمرو أن لا يقرأ القرآن كله في ليلة، بل على أقل تقدير، على أكثر تقدير في 3 ليال. وهكذا قام في الناس خطيبا فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما بال أقوام يقولون كذا وكذا، أما إني أصوم وأفطر وأقوم وأنام وأتزوج النساء، ومن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. كل ذلك يدل على حرص الصحابة رضوان الله تعالى عليهم على الإتيان والإكثار من الطاعات حتى يكونوا وقريبين من رب الأرض والسماوات. وهكذا عودوا صبيانهم، كما يروي البخاري ومسلم عن الربيع بنت معوذ رضي الله عنها قالت: أرسل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم غداة عاشوراء إلى قرى الأنصار: من أصبح مفطرا فليتم بقية يومه، ومن أصبح صائما فليصم. قالت: فكنا نصوم بعد ونصومه صبياننا ونجعل لهم اللعبة من العهن، أي من القطن، فإذا بكى أحدهم على الطعام أعطيناه ذاك، يعني اللعب، حتى لا يأكل حتى يكون عند الإفطار. نعم أحبتي في الله، هكذا تعامل أولئك المجتهدون الذين عرفوا كيف تنال الدار الآخرة. والسنة عباد الله في صيام يوم عاشوراء هو أن يصام يوم قبله أو يوما بعده، مخالفة لليهود، لحديث ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما المخرج عند أحمد بسند صحيح وابن خزيمة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: صوموا يوم عاشوراء وخالفوا اليهود، وصوموا يوما قبله أو يوما بعده. هذا هو ما صح عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأما قول بعض أهل العلم الفضلاء بأن أعلى مراتب عاشوراء أن يصام اليوم الذي قبله واليوم الذي بعده معه، ثم المرتبة الثانية أن يصام يوما قبله أو يوما بعده، فهو قول مرجوح، إنما أسس على اعتبار أن سند حديث صيام يوم قبله ويوم بعده صحيح، مع أن أهل العلم المختصين بالتصحيح في الحديث قد بينوا أن هذا الحديث ضعيف، وإنما الصحيح هو حديث ابن عباس آنف الذكر الذي فيه لفظة أو التخييرية، وهو أن يصام يوم قبله إضافة إليه أو يوما بعده لاعتبار المخالفة مع اليهود. فاجتهدوا عباد الله في الاستفادة من مواسم الطاعات، والتي منها هذا الشهر المبارك، ويوم العاشر منه تحديدا هو من أعظم هذه الأيام. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم الجليل لي ولكم من كل ذنب وخطيئة فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لم يزل عفوا غفورا، والصلاة والسلام على من كان بالطاعات لربه شكورا. أما بعد عباد الله، فإنه على الرغم مما ذكرنا من أحاديث دالة على ما كان من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه في شأن شهر المحرم من اجتهاد في صيام ما أمكن من صيامه شكرا لله، أقول على الرغم من الهدي الواضح منه صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذا الشأن، إلا أنه ثم أناس غرر بهم الشيطان فحملهم على مجانبة هدي الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذا الشهر وهذا اليوم، واستحداث أمور لم تكن معروفة زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولم تعرف بعده من أصحابه رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. أيها الأحبة، إن مما أحدثه الناس في هذا الشهر وهذا الموسم العظيم ما أحدثته الصوفية من الاحتفال به والتوسع فيه والتوسعة على العيال، ما يشعر وكأن يوم عاشوراء هو يوم عيد ثالث أضيف للأمة على عيد الفطر والأضحى، غير أنه احتفال محدث لا يجوز أبدا، لا يجوز الاحتفاء ولا الاحتفال بالمحرم ولا بالعاشر منه بأكثر مما ثبت عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فإن الزيادة على هديه اتهام له بالإنقاص فيما أمر ببلاغه، ونحن إذ نقول ذلك لنحذر من هذه الغفلة التي ينجم منها إقصاء الإنسان يوم القيامة من حوض النبي وحرمانه من الشفاعة. فاتقوا الله يا عباد الله. ظل آخرون في شأن هذا الشهر فجعلوه يوم حزن وبكاء ولطم وشقاء، زعموا أن ذلك هو الحب والوفاء للحسين بن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه وعن والديه، وقد كذبوا والله، وإلا فأين حزنهم على أبيه، فأين حزنهم على أبيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فلو كان فيهم من حزن لحزنوا على موت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهو القائل فيما رواه الإمام أحمد وابن ماجه عن فاطمة بنت الحسين بن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنهم أجمعين، من أصيب بمصيبة فذكر مصيبته فأحدث لها استرجاعا وإن تقاد معاهدها كتب الله له من الأجر مثلها يوم أصيب، ولو كان فيهم من حزن لتذكروا قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أصابته مصيبة فليتذكر مصيبته بفراقي أي بموته صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأي مصيبة وأي بلوى رزيت بها الأمة أكثر من موت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. هل يوجد في الدنيا، والله لموت كل المسلمين وسحقهم وإحراقهم والله ما يساوي أبدا موت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، مع أن قطرة دم من مسلم هي غالية جدا عند الله عز وجل، ولكن هذا رسول الله، هذا نبي الله، فسبحان الله يلطمون ويبكون ويشقون الجيوب ويفعلون ويفعلون أسا وبكا وبكاء على الحسين، على الحسين بن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه وعن أبيه، فكيف بهم مع موت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يسمع له حس، على أن لا ندعو إلى ذلك، لكن نقول إن هذا من أكبر الدلائل على كذب القوم وزورهم، وإنما أرادوا بذلك بيان تفضيل الحسين على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، بل قد صرحوا بذلك مرارا. ولو كان فيهم من حزن لحزنوا على مقتل أمير المؤمنين عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهم، غير أنهم يعدون يوم مقتله عيدا يفرحون به ويظهرون الفرح والسرور على أنفسهم وآلهم قاتلهم الله أن يؤفكون. ذلك أن قاتله إنما هو جدهم الأبعد الألعن لعنه الله وإياهم، ذلك هو أبو لؤلؤة المجوسي الذي بنوا له قبرا يزار إلى يومنا هذا في إيران ويسمونه قبر بابا شجاع الدين، وهو قبر بابا جبان اللعين، بابهم هم إلى جهنم وبئس المصير. ولو كان فيهم من حزن لحزنوا على مقتل أمير المؤمنين عثمان رضي الله عنه ذي النورين الذي قال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما ضر عثمان ما فعل بعد اليوم، لكنهم من سعى من حقدهم لتلك الفتنة وإيجادها ونفخوا في نارها لإيقادها. ولو كان فيهم من حزن لحزنوا على مقتل أمير المؤمنين علي رضي الله عنه، لكنهم قوم يكذبون وفجرة لا يرعون، وهم يرون وهم يرمون أهل السنة بأهل السنة، وهم يرمون أهل السنة بأهل السنة، فعلي رأس من رؤوس أهل السنة، وهم يريدون منا أن نبغض هذا الإمام الحبيب إلى قلوبنا. ووالله وبالله لنشهد الله والخلق أجمعين أنا لنحب عليا أكثر من آبائنا الذين نحن من أصلابهم. نعم يا عباد الله، كذلك أسلافهم اليهود دوما يفعلون. فاللهم قنا شرهم وأبطل مكرهم وبدد جمعهم، اللهم اجعل مواهبهم مناهب واجعل جميع الخلق عليهم غاضب، أولا تبقي لهم محبا ولا صاحب. عباد الله، إن الله قد أمركم بأمر فيه سعدكم وفيه عزكم وشريف ذكركم، فقال سبحانه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما، وكما ندبكم للتسليم عليه فقد أوجب عليكم التسليم له، كما ندبكم إلى التسليم عليه فقد أوجب عليكم التسليم له. قال سبحانه فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما. فاللهم صل وسلم على نبينا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا وقرة عيوننا وسيدنا وسيد الخلق أجمعين محمد بن عبد الله وعلى جميع آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم إلى يوم الدين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.
فذكر إن نبات الذكر
عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. ما بعد, dear brothers and sisters, حياكم الله to the translation of the khutbah of today. As usual, began with خطبة الحاجة, and then I recited the ayah of Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 36, where Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ عِدَّةِ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ إِذْنَا عَشَرَ شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. في واحد جوه. نعم. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله, يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم, ذلك الدين القيم, فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم, وقاتلوا المشركين كافة كما يقاتلونكم كافة, واعلموا أن الله مع المتقين. الله تعالى says that in this ayah 36, verily the number of the months, meaning of the year, with Allah is 12 months in a year. So was it ordained by Allah on the day when He created the heavens and earth of them for our sake? The first, which is Muharram, the seventh, which is Rajab, and then the 11th, which is Dhul-Qa'dah, and the 12th, which is Dhul-Hijjah, as the Islamic culture. That is the right religion. So wrong not yourselves therein, and fight against the mushrikeen, the polytheists, pagans, idolaters, disbelievers, etc., for in the oneness of Allah, for the sake of Allah, collectively, as they fight against you collectively. But know that Allah is with those who are al-muttaqeen, the pious ones. The pious ones. Piety is very important for every individual Muslim. And in everything, look at that, when Allah Ta'ala spoke about fighting against the mushrikeen, He mentioned fight. Why? Because it is very important. Without it, you can't live. You can't live, you can't survive, you can't win, you can't get the victories. These months, dear brothers and sisters, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abu Bakr al-Harith ابن نفيع بن تلدة الثقفي في صلى الله عليه وسلم سير ديس حديث السنة 12 شهرا the year is of 12 months 12 months منها أربعة الحرم from these 12 months there are 4 months which are sacred. Who gives them this position? It is Allah Ta'ala. We cannot manipulate it. We cannot change them as the Kuffar of Quraysh used to do. Kuffar of Quraysh and the whole Arab pagans, they used to do so. If they want to attack a village to capture them, and it is the time now where they are either weak, maybe their men are out for business or something like that, very little number of men there, they find it a good chance. But they didn't, then they look to the month and they find it's one of the 4 months. So what they do, they say, we consider that this is not Muharram, we say it is Safar, let's consider next month Muharram. It's not up to you to manipulate as you like. So Allah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, three of them are in row. These are Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, and Muharram. And one is Rajab. They call it Rajab Mudhar. Mudhar is one of the tribes of Arab. And Mudhar used to respect Rajab very highly, which is between Jumada and Sha'ban. Between Jumada and Sha'ban. Now, the 7th month of the Hijra calendar, and the 6th month of the Hijra calendar, and the 8th, Sha'ban. All people, that is why it is made forbidden for Muslims to fight in these months, unless if it is for purpose of defense. For purpose of defense, yes, you defend any time in the and any place. We all know that Mecca is sacred land and it is not allowed to fight in it, except if it is to defend. Nobody says that when the kuffar attacks Mecca, we all should just keep hand tight because it is Mecca, we can't fight. No, we have to defend it. However, it is more obligatory to defend Mecca than anywhere else, and it is more obligatory to defend this sacred month than any other month. If somebody wants to break the high position that Allah Ta'ala gave to this month, we have to protect this month. We cannot leave it for those kuffar or whoever, terrorists, to come and damage our days and months. But we do not begin the fight unless they start. And that's why they call it Muharram, from the word Tahrim, to forbid. So what is Muharram, what is forbidden in this month? It is not anything other than fighting. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave this month a very high position and respect. As in the hadith of Abu Hurairah reported by Imam Bukhari, by Imam Muslim, he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, أفضل الصيام, the best fasting after Ramadan is the month of Allah, which is called Al-Muharram. The best fasting after Ramadan is the month of Allah, which is called Al-Muharram. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did fast this day. He fasted. And he encouraged the whole Sahaba to fast. أزند حديث ابن عباس لفوت البي مسلم هي صلى الله عليه وسلم هي رضي الله تعالى عنه سيد وأن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فاسد ديوب عشراء and he commanded the people to fast it, meaning يعني first when it was obligatory. They came to Rasulullah. The companions came to Rasulullah and said, Ya Rasulullah, it is a day which the Yahud and Nasara respect. Meaning, they take it as one of their days of worship. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said then, well, if it is the next year, meaning next Muharram, inshaAllah, we're going to fast the 9th, meaning along with it. Some ulama said, what we should, yani Ashura is the 9th. Some ulama said that Ashura is the 9th. So, you need to fast the 9th. Say, no, that's wrong. Ashura, from its name, Al-Ashir, from the 10th day of Muharram. But he, صلى الله عليه وسلم, said, we'll fast التاسع, which is the 9th, meaning, in addition to the 10th. But as Ibn Abbas said, in this hadith, but the next year didn't come before صلى الله عليه وسلم passed away. يعني he passed away, صلى الله عليه وسلم, on the 11th. And this was on the 11th year of Hijrah. Naam. And on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, as reported by Imam Muslim, may Allah be pleased with them, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily, inna Ashura ayawmun min ayyamillah. Verily, Ashura is one day of the days of Allah. Are there any days of Allah and days which are not for Allah? No. But it means, either one of the days from Allah, meaning that he named it. He Allah Ta'ala named it Ashura. He Allah Ta'ala commanded to fast it. Or he encouraged yani to fast it. Or it means one of the days of Allah that he gave high respect, like the 2 days of Eid, Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, and the Friday. As well as the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, last 10 nights of, or whole days of Ramadan, and last 10 nights of Ramadan, etc., etc. Yawm Arafah, Mondays and Thursdays, 3 days in the middle of the month. All these are days which namely mentioned by Rasulullah to give more respect than others. Naam. So he said, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَأَصَامَهُ وَمَنْ شَاءَ تَرَكَهُ. Whoever wants to fast, let him to fast. Whoever doesn't want to fast, let him not to fast. Let him not to fast. And this was after Ramadan was made obligatory for fasting. He used to fast, and he used to encourage the Sahaba to fast, as in the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, reported by Bukhari and Muslim. He said, ما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتحرى صيام يوم فضله على غيره إلا هذا اليوم. He said, I never saw رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم chasing a day for fasting, which he صلى الله عليه وسلم considers يعني the best all amongst all the days except this day, the 10th of Muharram. And I never saw him chasing a month to fast during it, which he prefers than any other month, than this month, which is Ramadan, as Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, said. Then he used to fast it even before he received the prophethood. Even before he became prophet, he used to fast this month. As Aisha radiallahu anha said, as in Sahih Bukhari, and I said some words there, I said, as our mother, as-Siddiqa, al-Fadila, the noble believer, love of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the wife of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم even in the Jannah. The cause of hatred and enmity at the chest of the kuffar, Aisha radiallahu anha. She said that Ashura was a day in which Quraysh used to fast during the Jahiliyyah time. During the Jahiliyyah time, meaning before the Prophethood. And the Prophet ﷺ used to fast it with them. And when he came to Medina, he fasted and he commanded the Sahaba to fast. But when Ramadan was made obligatory to fast, then whoever wanted to fast would fast, and whoever didn't want to fast, they did not fast. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, as in the hadith reported by Bukhari, when Rasulullah came to Medina migrating, he found the Yahud fasting this day, the 10th of Muharram. He asked them, "What is this?" Meaning, why you are fasting? They said, it is a good day. It is a day in which Allah Ta'ala survived them, Bani Israel, from their enemy, meaning Pharaoh. So Musa fasted this day as a way of thankfulness to Allah. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, I have more right with Musa than you. In this hadith he said, I have. In the other hadith he said, we the Muslims. He said, I have more right with Musa than you. And then he fasted it and he commanded the Sahaba to fast it. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified and magnified the position of this day. As in the hadith of Abu Qatada radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which is reported by Imam Muslim, where he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Siyamu yawmi Ashura, fasting the day of Ashura, أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ يُكَفِّرَ السَّنَةَ الَّتِي قَبْلَهُ. I seek that Allah Ta'ala forgives all the sins of the year pre to it. And this hadith is reported by Ahmad in Musnad and Imam Muslim in Sahih. Now some people who have no knowledge, have no wisdom, they speak saying that, oh, we recently fasted Yawm Arafah. And Yawm Arafah, as Rasulullah said, it is a cause of forgiveness of 1 year pre to it and 1 year advance. And the year before it and the year after. And we still have only 1 month fast. From the 9th of the Hijjah until the 10th, especially this year, because the Hijjah was 29 days. So it is only 1 month. So how come we still have 11 months of forgiveness? Oh, we don't need to fast Ashura. I say, Ya Ikhwan, did Rasulullah fast this day or not? He did. Did he fast Ashura, Yawm Arafah or not? He did for nine years. For 9 years at least. Only the year he was in Hajj, he didn't fast. Other than that, before that, he used to fast. Okay. He used to fast Ashura, 9th of Dhul Hijjah, Yawm Arafah. Did he used to fast Ashura or not? He fasted until the last year, as you hear in Hadith ibn Abbas, when he said, when they told him that it is the day that the Yahud yani fast, he said, then if I live, inshallah, to the next Muharram, I will fast the 9th. So until he died, until he passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to fast. Look to him and look to you. Do you know any sin for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I never come to know any sin. Do you know any sins for yourself? I would just give condolences to your family if you say no. Because I'll give them condolences of for your brain, for your aql, because you're crazy. If you say that you have no sense, you are, I don't want to say liar, but at least you are crazy, you are foolish. There is no human with no sense. كلكم خطا كل ابن ادم خطا عزيز السنسل. Every mankind is يعني a sinner. A sinner. Now, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, who never committed any sin, he was told, as in the Quran in Surah Al-Fatih, إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأْخَرَ. We gave you the great conquer, meaning of Mecca, so that Allah forgives your previous sins and your future sins. Subhanallah. He committed no sin. He has given the forgiveness of all the sins, past and future. What did he do? Did he stop worshipping? Did he stop doing optional worships? He did more of optional worships. As Aisha radiallahu anha said, when she saw him praying nights, every night, almost all the night, up until his feet cracked. She said to him, Ya Rasulullah, you do this, although Allah Ta'ala forgave all of your sins, the past and the future. He Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam responded saying, what? He didn't say, but there are some sins you didn't know about. Or there are some sins maybe Allah doesn't forgive. Or there are some sins maybe the conqueror of Mecca is not enough to remove. But he said, should I not be a grateful slave? Subhanallah. Where is that from our understanding? Where is that from our understanding? So, at least we make it as a sign of gratefulness and thankfulness for Allah Ta'ala. But to say so, it only indicates to me that you're somebody that your family needs to be given condolences. And the Department of Immigration need to drop your name from living existence and give a certificate of death. But he's not on this world. He's not on this world. Who say that he has no sins is not from this world. It's from somewhere else. Ya Ikhwan, the Sahaba who knew the virtue of these type of worships, they dealt with it different from us. Look to Uthman. Uthman radiallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ said to him, it is not going to harm Uthman whatever he does after today. Meaning, no sin would be counted against him. What did he say? What did he do? Oh, that's a great yani witness from Rasulullah. I'll stop worshipping, I'll stop drinking, I'll stop playing. La akhi. Uthman, even when he was killed holding the Quran, reciting the Quran. In those very tremendous crises, he was holding the Quran, reciting. The Sahaba, who the Prophet ﷺ gave them the glad tidings that they are from the Jannah people of Jannah, like the 10 Sahaba and many others, they did not say, okay, khalas, we stop. No, but they increased. They did more. Allah Azza wa Ta'ala said, Al jazaa al ihsan illa al ihsan. Is the reward for goodness other than goodness? Is it something other than goodness? I mean, if Allah Ta'ala guided you, did good to you, what you should do? You should do good to your Lord by obeying and show more obedience to Him. The Sahaba did not only do that on themselves, practice that with themselves, but even their families and children. Look at this. In Sahih Bukhari, a Muslim, on the authority of Al-Rubayy bint Mu'awwid, رضي الله تعالى عنها. She said رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم sent someone to declare, and during the daytime of Ashura, he sent someone to the towns and villages of Al-Ansar to announce to the people and declare, whoever is not fasting today, let him to hold rest of the day. Let him to hold the rest of the day. And whoever is still fasting, meaning didn't eat, not fasting intentionally, whoever is fasting today, let him to fast. Meaning, what is the meaning, whoever is fasting today, let him to fast? Whoever is fasting linguistically, meaning didn't eat yet, didn't drink, didn't yani do sexual intercourse, that is fast. It's a linguistic fasting, right? Then he said, فَلْيَصُمْ, let him to fast, meaning let him to have the intention to make it a hold of worship now. Hold as a worship. Hold of these things for worship, for fasting. Now, she said, so we used to fast that day, after what? Meaning after that day and after all the years, and we used to make our children fast. And we used to give them toys made of cotton to play with. And when one of them cries for food, we give him or give her a toy to play with until the time of iftar comes. Look at that. It's not Ramadan. It's not obligatory. But they are training now their children, teaching them, make them to live it and become familiar with it, to fast. What does that mean? It's an event. Also, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu reports, as in Musnad Ahmad and Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, صوموا يوم عاشوراء وخالفوا اليهود. وخالف اليهود. Fast the day of Ashura and distinguish yourselves from the Yahud. Oppose the Yahud. How? He صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded us to oppose the Yahud in all the times and all forms. Yahud and Nasara and the Mushrikeen as well. But today, look at our style of life today. Us, our families, our children. We are not distinguishing ourselves from the Yahud, from the Christians, from the Mushrikeen. We're just following. The distinguish today is very little. I tell you something, forget about Saudi Arabia. Maybe in Saudi Arabia it is very clear. But go to any other countries where there are Muslims and non-Muslims living together, citizens. In Saudi Arabia they have only Muslim citizens. The non-Muslims are workers who come to work and leave. And they are not from the, they don't belong to the society. But go to the countries where Muslims and non-Muslims living together. And show me if you can distinguish. Show me if you can say that this is a Muslim and this is not. Only very, very little cases. Only very rarely. Because they're looking in the same. I've been to Egypt, for example. Wallahi, I cannot figure out if this is a Muslim or this is a Christian. I can't figure out. They both look like each other. You go elsewhere, wherever you want, where Muslims and non-Muslims living together, maybe you find the distinguish, like in India, for example, the distinguishing coming from the kuffar, not from the Muslims. They distinguish themselves by, you know, the big moustache and the turban, special turban, and the woman with this red dot. But where the Muslims, they do not distinguish themselves, not by something they innovate, but by something they inherited from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and from the Sahaba. Unfortunately, we all feel shame to do it, especially. Look at the Muslims when they go to the West. For example, some Saudis, they are in Saudi, mashallah, in nice thobe, and yani, easily you can know he's Muslim. you can easily say assalamu alaikum. Or go with him on a plane to London, for example. Lot of change, you see. Lot of change. The white and red color clothes disappear. And then only, you know, a suit and a necktie and appear. What is that? It's a multi-personality. It's the problem of missing dignity of Islam. Missing dignity of Islam. So we need to distinguish ourselves, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in many cases. For example, wearing the beard and not trimming, not shaving it. He Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, distinguish yourself from the mushrikeen and majus. Distinguish yourself from the majus. Wear your beard. Grow it. Leave it. Go long. Etc. etc. Many hadith. Why are the Muslims doing that? In some countries you see the sheikh, the imam, the mufti with no beard. No beard, no mustache. Only when he is on duty, he distinguishes himself. Duty of duty. On duty of duty. On duty, wearing the cover the coat and the turban. But the shape that Allah created on him is not, you cannot distinguish it. Only you can know him by the turban. 8 hours duty finished, he put off this and he comes out with the suit and necktie. You don't know he is John or Muhammad. You don't know. You don't know to say Assalamu alaikum Mufti or you say something else. Good morning, John. You don't know, really. What does that mean? It's a missing of dignity in the Muslims today, amongst the Muslims today. That's a problem, ikhwan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this issue of fasting the day of Ashura, he said, Khaliful Yahud, oppose the Yahud. And what? Khaliful Yahud, and fasting, and follow them and imitate them, and head, and haircut, and clothes, and way of speaking, and lying, and cheating, and riba, and subhanallah. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sumu yawm Ashura wa khalifu al-Yahud. Fast the day of Ashura and distinguish or oppose the Yahud. How to oppose the Yahud? They fast Ashura. But he said, Sumu yawman qablahu aw yawman ba'dahu. Fast the day before it or a day after it. Because the Yahud fast Ashura alone. Fast Ashura alone. Now some people may say, but the Yahud today do not fast Ashura. We are on the 7th of Muharram today, Friday. Saturday 8th. Monday will be the 10th. You go to anywhere where the Yahud are, you go to Palestine where the Yahud are, and you see, you go to Yemen, there are Yahud, you go to Morocco, you go to Europe, there are Yahud. On Monday you don't see them fasting. Why? It is of one of two reasons. Either because they are not religious anymore, and not practicing their religion, or it is because, as the ulama said, when he saw Salam came to Medina, he found the Yahud fasting that day. They did not know that time there was no Hijra calendar. So they do not know Muharram, and they don't go with that. They go with the solar months, not the lunar months. We go by the lunar months, they go by the. So how come? The ulama say maybe in that year, the 10th of Muharram was the same day in which they fast. For the same reason. So Rasulullah ﷺ assigned this day for us. So maybe now some people say, okay, we don't fast because the Yahud are not fasting Monday. This is wrong. You fast because Rasulullah ﷺ told you that it is a worship, it is a cause of forgiveness of a year of sins. Now, so you fast one day before or one day after. Not one day before and one day after. Because the hadith, يعني صام علماء، لكن ابن القيم said the best level of fasting Ashura is to fast 3 days, 9th, 10th, 11th. The second one is to fast 2 days, 9th and 10th, or 10th and 11th. But this is based on the hadith that says wa صوموا يوما قبله ويوما بعده, fast a day before it and a day after. This hadith, according to the ulama of hadith, is weak. It's not authentic. What is authentic is the hadith says aw, or a day before or a day after. So it means 2 days. So the best level of fasting Ashura is 2 days, either 9th and 10th, or 10th and 11th, up to you. And it is, as they, some of them said, the best, very best, is 9th and 11th, because Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wished to live the 9th, to live and fast 9th and 10th. But if you want to fast 10th and 11th, up to you. Now, and the second, yani we say the best 9th, 11th. Second, 10th, sorry, 9th and 10th. The best 9th and 10th. The second rank is 10th, 11th. The third rank is 10th alone. You still allowed to fast 10th alone, but not recommended. Not recommended. Now, so, get the benefit and advantage of the seasons of worship, which this month is one of them. And particularly the 10th of this month is one of them. May Allah forgive me, my sins and your sins, and all the Muslims. This was the first khutbah. And then the second part of the khutbah, I began by praising Allah Ta'ala, who is all forgiver. And I sent peace and blessing to Amr Rasulullah Sallam, who used to be, who used to worship Allah as a way of gratefulness and thankfulness. And then I said, oh people, besides, or yani, all these hadith that we mentioned about Muharram and the 10th of Muharram, and how Rasulullah used to deal with it, and how the Sahaba used to deal with it, and how they used to, what they used to do in it, all these hadith, yet we see some people doing something which is not from the way of Rasulullah, nor it is from the way of the Sahaba, but it is a whisper of the shaitan. Made them to oppose the way of Rasulullah and the Sahaba, and innovate things that were not known at the time of Rasulullah, nor at the time of the Sahaba after him. And this is the like of what the Sufis innovated of celebrating that day. Celebrating that day, wearing new clothes, making their kids to wear new clothes, give them gifts. Celebration. Like if it is the third day of Eid. We have Eid al-Fitr, after Ramadan, Eid al-Adha, after Arafah, and they want to do another Eid now, which is wrong. It is a great day, but we have to deal with it the way Rasulullah dealt with it. That's it. Some others were even worse in misguidance, according, yani, in regard to this day. And they made it a day of sadness and crying and beating themselves, bleeding themselves. Subhanallah. Look at that. Some people, yani, turned it to be a celebration day. Others, a day of sadness and bleeding. Subhanallah. Rasulullah neither did this nor did that. So we have to be with Rasulullah, ikhwan. They say that, they do that, and they claim that this sadness is a form of love that we show to Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhu and walidayhi. Why do you need to do so to show Hussein ibn Ali that you love him? Oh, because he was killed on that day. he was killed in that day. And there are a lot of nonsense on that thing, you know. One of them, I hear him saying, I have his recording. He said, you know that, you know, the reddish color on the horizon, before, just with the sunset, or right after sunset. They say, before Al-Hussein was killed, there was no reddish color in the sky. No reddish color at all. This reddish color came from the blood of Al-Hussein. And mashallah, the blood of Al-Hussein is remaining until today. And only appears between day and night. Subhanallah. Are they talking to foolish people or what? I don't know. How come there are people, once he said this, I hear them. Once he said this, the crowd he had, Allahumma salli ala, yani way of acceptance, and they are wondering, mashallah, hey, what's this? If you ask any kid, is this possible that the blood remains on that level until today? And they say what? They make lots of lies. One of them said that he, one of the shuyukh, their shuyukh, was in London. United Kingdom, England. He was there. He was invited by the Shia students there. So he came there to do the celebration of Ashura, crying and this and telling his stories, lies, lie, all lies. When he was there and he was describing the killing of Al-Hussein, a man who is studying engineering was there in that sitting. After that sitting finished, he came to the Sheikh and he said, "Ya Sheikh, look to what you say. Wallahi, what you said is exactly like what I read in the encyclopedia of Britain." Said, "I read it there. Exactly like the way he said." You know what he said? He said, when Al-Hussein ibn Ali was killed, you want me to act it the way he said? He cried. I will wallahi cry for Hussein. Wallahi, we cry from our hearts. Hussein is one of those we love the most. Not like them. I saw in one, you can see, go to the YouTube and see. In one mosque, the Sheikh was speaking about Hussein and he was crying and beating himself, and the camera was going around, till it came to one old man, it seems one of their shuyukh, sitting like this. And he suddenly, out of sudden, saw the camera. He did like that. Just this joke or what? Joke or what? These guys are very mad. This man said that he saw that in the encyclopedia. What he saw, he said, when Ali ibn Hussein was killed, the heavens, the sky, rain, blood, all around the world. There was one cloud full of blood, rain all the land of the world. Encyclopedia, he said like that. His name is Abdul Hamid al-Muhajiri. From Kuwait, you can, one of their big imams. He said that in that year, the heavens, the sky, rained blood. Blood. Now he said, England, they did not know Islam that time. They did not know about Hussein. So how come in the encyclopedia, it said that in that particular day, he said, we compared the Gregorian calendar of that day and the day in which Hussein was killed, it was the same day. Same exact day. But I'm wondering, was Hussein killed? There are 3 hours difference between Iraq and London. I don't know, really, for the Amal. I don't know. Was it in daytime or night time?
I don't know really. But he said that it was in the same day. And I don't know why he chose in UK but not India. I don't know why. He did not choose India. For example, and just example, or any African country. Why he yani said UK? Because they have a huge encyclopedia that, and he said, if you don't believe me, you go look. I go look where? In the encyclopedia of Britain? How come I go and look there? You waste your whole life looking for it and you don't find it. And then he lied more. He said, whoever doesn't believe, come with me to my office down. I have it. I have it in my drawer. So subhanAllah, if you have it in your drawer, why didn't you bring it out? Because none of them can come and say, yeah, I don't believe you. Show me. He will be killed immediately. You don't believe the imam? They say that the imam is ma'soom. They say that the imam is better than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the prophets and Jibreel. And you don't believe him, you're kafir, you'll be killed. See the way they deal. SubhanAllah. Anyway, they lie and they cry for Hussein. Okay, you cry for Hussein, ya Allah, jazakumullah khair. What is the benefit of bleeding? Even a one year old kid, his mother brings him, you can see it on YouTube, go and see Akhwan. The mother brings him, and the sheikh holding a sword, hits his head. And the boy cries, he doesn't know what is this about. He didn't do anything wrong. Maybe the baby thinking now, did I break the cup? Did I pour the milk? What did I do for this punishment? Eh? But he has to be punished. Although he just been born, he has to be punished because their grandfathers are the ones who killed Hussein. Their grandfathers are the ones who killed Hussein. Because they told him, yeah, you go and fight and we are with you. When he went to fight, they all escaped. All scared. We don't praise the one who killed him. We say that his guilt is wrong. As Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said, when they brought his head to Sham, he cried and he cursed the one who killed him. He didn't want him to be killed. He only wanted the fitna to be killed. Not Hussein, nor any Muslim to be killed. But they are liars. So they cry. They cry for who? For Hussein. For Hussein. It was better for them to take the guidance of Rasulullah ﷺ when he said, as in the hadith, reported by Fatima, daughter of Al-Hussein, son of Ali. See, this is not, they should respect. Fatima, daughter of Al-Hussein, son of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anha, she is reporting from her father, who is reporting from his grandfather, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever has any, whoever falls into calamity, then let him to say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This would be better for him, and it would be he would be rewarded and given yani reward written before Allah. So now this is a calamity. This is a calamity. Killing of Hussein, even if he died without killing, it's a calamity. Let's now cry. Let's now yani deal with it. We should say Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. That's all. That's all. But, as I said, why they did not cry for example, the killing of Umar, radiallahu anhu? You know why? Because the one who killed him is their grandfather. He's from Iran, Abu Lu'la al-Majusi. He's the one who killed Umar, radiallahu anhu. So how come they cry for Umar? Should they curse their grandfather? They will not do that. They killed the companion of Rasulullah, but not their grandfather. They built a big grave, and I don't know how did they get the body of Abu Lu'la al-Majusi, who was killed in Medina. He was killed in Medina. So if he is a believer, take this, if he is a believer, and he was killed in Medina, every Muslim agrees that the best place to be buried in is Medina. Isn't it, Ikhwan? Everybody wishes to die in Medina and be buried in Medina. Why he was taken to Iran? If he was taken. If, as they say, that his body is buried there. Why did they take him from Medina to Iran? And they say he is the believer. Umar is covered and he is a believer. Umar is buried next to Rasulullah and he is buried next to Khomeini, qatalahumullah. I don't know who's best to them, Rasulullah or Khomeini. And they build a big, big building over the grave, big dome, and they wrote on it, the graveyard of Baba Shuja'uddin. Shuja'uddin meaning the brave one of the, yani, for the sake of religion. I call them the graveyard of Baba Jabaluddin. The graveyard of Baba, coward, the most coward one of Ad-Din. Because he was hiding himself in the mihrab, and it was dark. Otherwise, can he face Umar? Can he stand face to face to Umar? Wallahi, he will urinate on himself. Wallahi. Shaitan could not stand. Their great grandfather, Shaitan, could not stand. How come he stand? You know? But they are liars. And you will see. Take it from me and you will see. In the day of resurrection, let them be on the same place where Umar is. They're going to escape, all of them. They're going to prefer to jump into fire, not to stand before Umar. Subhanallah. They say that they do that to show that they are sorry for the killing of Hussein. Where are they from the killing of Uthman? Or because that they are the ones who encouraged the Khawarij. They are the ones who encouraged the Khawarij. Like them today. Look at them in Yemen now. Look at them in Damaj. And Iran encouraged them. Look at them in Qatif, in Eastern Province. And Iran encouraged them. In Bahrain. And Iran encouraged them. In Morocco. And Iran encouraged them. That's the way. They don't want any Sunni to be alive. They curse the killers of Uthman. And they never cry for Uthman, but they curse Uthman. They curse Uthman. Where are they from the killing of Ali radiallahu anhu? Don't they say that they love Hussein? And okay, Ali is the father of Hussein. And they always say, Haydara, Haydara, meaning for Ali. Okay, where are they? Wasn't Ali killed? Or Ali died like that, Ikhwan? Ali was killed. But because who killed him is a Khawarij, like them. So they don't care about Ali. They don't care. Their care is only about Hussein. Lying. Naam? That's why I said, Ikhwan, you have to be careful of these people. Do not give any peace to them. Do not live where they live. Do not give them nice face. Do not smile at their faces. Ya Ikhwan, the Prophet ﷺ said, smiling at the face of your brother. They're not your brothers. Your father is not their father. Your mother is not their mother. Your father, yani, the one you respect highly is Rasulullah. The one they respect highly is their 12 Imams. They say that they are better than Rasulullah. So maybe your mother is one? Okay, let's see this. You say Aisha is your mother. They say Aisha is not their mother. So even the mothers are not the same. So we don't smile at their faces. We don't smile. We only show them ugly face. As much as we can. These are worse than the Yahud and Nasara. Worse than the Mushrikeen. Worse than anyone else. Worse than anyone else. May Allah protect the whole Ummah of Islam from them.
And know, ya ikhwan, that Allah Ta'ala recommended you and encouraged you to do a lot of, or send a lot of peace and blessings of Rasulullah to do yani this worship. I don't like to call it peace and blessings, send peace and blessings. No. To do salah and salam of Rasulullah. Now, don't say it in English, peace and blessings of Rasulullah. La, la. You have to say it in Arabic, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not difficult, easy. As well as he, Allah Ta'ala said that as in Surah Al-Ahzab, ayah 56, وَيَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. He also made it obligatory upon you to submit your case to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he said, as in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 65, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثم لا يجد في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما. There Allah Ta'ala said وسلموا تسليما. Here he said ويسلموا تسليما. There وسلموا means say الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Here ويسلموا mean to submit their cases to رسول الله, to the judgment of Allah. If they say they are followers of Rasulullah, these Rafida or those Sufis or whoever, let them and us come and put the judgment of Rasulullah ﷺ before any judgment. Will they accept? Allah knows best. It's a call raised to them. Let's see what they choose. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Wa jazakum Allahu khayr.